The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse number 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." What book? It's talking about the book. In 2 Chronicles 34, verse 21, it says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found." What book? The book. Well, is this microphone on? It's just a little different than that, but it'll work. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse number 31, it says, "And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." What book? The book. The book. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 13, it says, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book." What book? The book. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." What book? The book. In Revelation chapter 22, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God." What book? The book. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 20, it says, "The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book." What book? The book. The word Bible does not show up in the Bible. The word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblios, which means the book. The book you have in your hands is the book. You know, the King James Bible is not one of many, but it is one of a kind. You say, what is it? It's the book. There have been a lot of popular books written through the years, and people read in many different ways. If you have one of the balls, why don't you put the emoji beach ball down underneath your seat? That way you can pay attention and not get in trouble by an angry preacher later, in case one slips in. People read many, many different things. Did you know that the King James Bible is the best-selling book in history? And it ought to be. The Lord of the Rings sold 150 million copies. The Hobbit sold 142 million copies. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince sold 65 million copies. Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets sold 60 million copies. The Hunger Games sold 23 million copies. Twilight sold 120 million copies. Well, let me tell you something. The King James Bible is still the best-selling book on the face of the earth. Hey, and for a world that's in such a mess, that's a pretty good feat. It's a pretty good thing. You know, we also read as a part of our involvement in social media. For instance, 91% of teenagers have internet access. 88% of teenagers have a mobile phone. 87% of American teenagers have computer access. 58% of teenagers have a tablet of some sort. The typical teenager, according to all the phone companies, send out about 10,950 texts a year. Now, I know some of you are raising that average, but 10,950 in a year. 71% of teens are on Facebook. 61% of our teens use Instagram. 59% of the teenagers have email. 47% of teens use video chat. 41% of the teenagers in America use Snapchat. 32% of the teenagers are on Twitter. They say in America, the average teenager spends 9 hours on the internet or on social media a day. 9 hours a day. You say, where you get those statistics? From the people that are making the money off of it. They know how much time is being spent on it. Did you know something? All of that has to do with what you put your eyes on. All of that has to do with what you read. We're talking about what we look at all day long, all week long.
That's what internet and our mobile phones and our computer and our tablets and Facebook and Instagram and the email and video chat and Snapchat and Twitter, all of it. That's what we're putting our eyes on. I have a question for you, Christian. Did you know you're supposed to read your Bible? You're to read your Bible. Do you? Most people wake up in the morning and this is what they do. They wake up in the morning and they grab their telephone and the first thing they read is their text. The next thing they do is they check their email. You check your text before you open your Bible. You want to see what some person sent you before you want to get something from God. You want to check your email before you get something from God. And I'm going to tell you something, didn't used to be that way. It didn't used to be that way. You say, Pastor, should I feel bad about that? You'll have to decide whether you should feel bad about that. That's based on the condition of your heart. But if what I just said is true of you, and that's what you do, you ought to feel a little guilty. It used to be that Christians woke up in the morning and they grabbed their Bible, and it was the most important way to start their day. But boy, has that changed in this day and age. Hey, do you know something? I hold in my hand the only book that God ever wrote. You say, what book? The book. The book. It's the only perfectly dependable form of reading. No form of reading or communication is more important to the Christian than the Bible. Hey, I'm not against social media unless it's taking second place to your Bible. If social media is taking second place to the Bible, you've got a problem. If it's more important to you to read your text, read your email, do your chatting, and your Twittering or tweeting or whatever it's called, hey, if all that is more important to you than your Word of God, you need a heart change. I'm not against social media, but if it is more important to you than your Bible, there's a problem. The book is the only book that can make the claims that it makes. You know, we ought to get our face out of Facebook and get our face back in the book. Get your face out of your cell phone and get your face back in the book. Get your faith out of your tablet and get your face back in your Bible. Get your face out of your email and get your face back in the book. Get your face out of Instagram and get your face back in the book. Get your face out of the video chatting and get your face back in the book. Get your face out of the Snapchat and get your face back in the book. Get your face out of Twitter and get your face back in the book. You say, well, Pastor, I've never read my Bible. Well, then let me tell you something. You need to start reading your Bible. You say, I'm not backslidden. I never did do it. Well, you need to start. But I'm talking to a lot of Christians in here. You know you ought to read your Bible. Your pastor tells you you ought to read your Bible. You've been trained to read your Bible, and you know better. But you're spending all your time in Twitter and texting and Facebook. You spend your time on the internet, surfing the web, looking at this, looking at that, and you spend all that time. And it would be rare that I could find a teenager in here that has ever researched your Bible and did a Bible study, but you'll go on the internet and look at things all around the world. Why? Because that's so important to you. Get your face out of the television and get your face in the book. Get your face out of your video games and get your face in the book. Get your face off of Netflix and get your face into the book. And you know something? I'm not necessarily against anything that I just called roll on. I'm against the fact that you'll do all of that, but you don't read your Bible. And if you do, it's a little ditty where you take just a moment, you read just enough to get the preacher off your back. And that's not enough. You say, how do you know? Well, look at how you live. Look at the result of your dabbling in your Bible reading if you do that much. Get your face in the book. Which book? The book. The book. Get your face in the book. Why? Because it's a good book. It's a good book. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, "Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes." Hebrews 6, 5 says, "And have tasted the good word of God." Proverbs 4, 2 says, "For I give you good doctrine." This is a good book. You've heard it called the good book. You say, why? Because it's a good book. It's the book. Micah chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord strained? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly?" Hey, you need to get your face in the book because it's a good book. The book is full of goodness. The book is totally against bad. The book teaches about good things. The book teaches you good words. The book teaches you how to be good men. The book teaches you how to be good women. The book teaches you good thoughts. The book teaches you good attitudes. The book teaches you how to be a good child. The book teaches you how to be a good teacher. The book teaches you good ideas. The book teaches you good deeds. The book teaches you good use of your time. The book teaches you how to live your life. The book teaches you what a good church is. The book teaches you good doctrine. The book teaches you what good people are. The book teaches you right relationships. And I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't be so bad that you're so involved in all those things on the peripheral, all those things that you spend your time on, but you're spending your time doing everything but reading the book. The book. You see, I think you ought to get your face in the book. Because it's an infallible book. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The book is infallible. The book will never fail. The book brings victory. The book it's never a loser. The book will never fail you financially. The book will never fail you spiritually. The book will never fail you emotionally. The book will never fail you physically. The book will never fail you as a father. The book will never fail you as a mother. The book will never fail you as a leader. The book will never fail you as a follower. The book will never fail you as a son, as a daughter, as a human, as an employer, as an employee. The book never fails. The book never fails a man. The book never fails a woman. The book never fails a brother. The book never fails a sister. The book never fails a friend. The book never fails grandma or grandpa or a teacher or a student. The book has never failed anybody in the past. The book is failing nobody in the present. The book will fail nobody in the future. The book cannot fail. You say, why are you insistent that I get in the book? Because it's infallible. It's the good book. But not only that, we need to get our face in the book because it's a perfect book. It's a perfect book. All those other communication ways, devices, all those other things, they're not perfect. Instagram's not perfect. A texting's not perfect. Email's not perfect. Facebook's not perfect. But I've got news for you. There's one thing you can read. There's one thing you can depend on. You say, what is it? The book. Why? It's a perfect book. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Psalm 119, verse 96 says, "I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad." Listen, the book has no mistakes. It's perfect. The book has no flaws. It's perfect. The book has no errors. It's perfect. The book has no contradictions. It's perfect. The book has no inaccuracies. It's perfect. The book has no miscalculations. It's perfect. The book has no oversights. It's perfect. The book has no slip-ups. It's perfect. The book has no blunders. It's perfect. The book has no goofs. It's perfect. The book has no bloopers. It's perfect. The book is not full of bull. It is perfect. The book has no faults. It's perfect. The book has no improprieties. It's perfect. The book has no inadequacies. It's perfect. The book has no wrongs. It's perfect. The book is a perfect counseling book. The book is a perfect child-rearing book. The book is a perfect book to help your marriage. The book is a perfect financial assistance guide. Hey, and the book is a perfect guide for picking a mate. And if there's dating going on in your life, it ought to be done exactly to what the Word of God would teach. The book. The book. The book. Why should we get our face in the book? Well, I think we ought to get our face in the book because it's a good book. I think we ought to get our face in the book because it's an infallible book. I think we ought to get our face in the book because it's a perfect book. I think we ought to get our face in the book because it's a God-inspired book. God-inspired. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, it says, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." You see, the book is the God-breathed book. The book is the God-produced book. The book is the God-written book. The book is the God-delivered book. The book is the God-furnished book. The book is the God-supplied book. The book is the God-contributed book. The book is the God-granted book. The book is the God-bestowed book. The book is the God-dispensed book. The book is a God-transferred book. The book is a God-conferred book. The book is a God-furnished book. The book is a God-generated book. The book is a God-made book. The book is the God-birthed book. The book was written by God. The book is God's work. The book is God's word. The book is God's mind. The book comes from God's mind and God's heart. It is what Jesus was. Brother Nash is exactly right. You say, "I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus," and I don't read my Bible, then I say you're a liar. Because if you love Jesus, you'll love His Word, because He was the walking Word of God, and we've got it in print, and you say, "I love Him, I love Him, I love Him." You're lying to yourself. If you won't read the book, this book is Jesus Christ for us in this day and in this age. And we are to cling to it and love it and believe it and read it. And we ought not be putting our texting in front of it. The book. The book. Have you figured out the title of my sermon? I'm calling it The Book. The Book. Why get your face in the book? Because it's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word effectually means it's effective. And it's effective if your heart is open and it's receiving the word of God. Why get your face out of Facebook and get your face in the book? Because you're not going to get any power out of Facebook, but you can get the power of God in your life to have victory if you'll get your face in the book. The book is a powerful book. The book is a forceful book. The book is a mighty book. The book is a dynamic book. The book is an energetic book. The book is a vigorous book. The book is a great book. The book is an influential book. The book is a potent book. The book is an efficient book. The book is a productive book. You say, "Brother Owens, I'd really like to be productive in the ministry, and I'd really like to be productive in life, and I'd really like to be productive down at the church." Then get in a book and do what the book said. You say, "I want to go to some conference and learn all the secrets." Hey, you don't have to go anywhere. The secrets are right here in the book. There's the power. There's the energy. The book is a convincing book. The book is an invincible book. The book is an unstoppable book. The book is a book of all capabilities. The book is an authoritative book. The book is a dominant book. The book is a supreme book. The book is a sovereign book. The book is a strong book. No force is greater than the force of the book. The book. Preacher, are you scared? Are you scared of what's happening in the world? No, I'm not, and I'll tell you why. Because the book tells us everything's going to be all right. The book says we're on the winning side. The book says there's going to be a lot of things happen. But you know what? Us and God, we make a majority. It says it right there in the book. It's in the book. Thank God I've got the book. Why get your face off of Facebook and in the Bible? Because it's a profitable book. It's a profitable book. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. You know something? Most of the trash you get off the internet's not profitable. What you get off of Instagram is not profitable. It'll rot your brain out. It'll turn you on to where you can't get yourself turned off, or you won't turn yourself off. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. Acts chapter 2, verse number 32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You ought to get your face in the book. You say, why? It is a profitable book. You want to truly be profitable in life? Get yourself in the book. The book is a book of profit. The book is a book of earnings. The book is a book of positive. The book is a book of gain. The book is a book of proceeds. The book is a book of output. The book is a book of yield. The book is a book of production. The book is a book of growth. The book is a book of happening. The book is a book of accomplishment. The book is a book of achievement. The book is a book of fulfillment. The book is a book of attainment. The book is a book of success. The book is a book of advantage. The book is a book of satisfaction. The book is a book of triumph. The book is a book of thriving. The book is a book of flourishing. And I'll tell you something. We're looking everywhere. There's something that we want. We long. We're passionate. We've got to have it. What are you looking for? I'll guarantee you, God can double everything you've ever wanted and ever dreamed and ever had a passion for. What you want is found in the book. The book. Unless you want to follow the wrong person. The book. The book. The word Bible is not found in the Bible. But that's okay. The word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblios. Say, what's it mean? It's easy. The book. The book. You know something? There's one book that's the most important one anywhere in the universe. It's not Facebook. It's not Facebook. I hate to burst your ever-loving puppy bubble. It's not Facebook. It's the book. Hey, why get your face in the book? Because it's an every word book. Every word. Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what God told you and I to do? He gives us a command in the Old Testament to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I've got news for you. He also said it in the New Testament, in case you're saying, well, that's Old Testament theology, Brother Owens. Okay. It's quoted in Matthew 4:4. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I got to explain something to you. If God told me in the Old Testament, I'm to live by every word, and then God told me in the New Testament, I'm to live by every word, I would have to say to God, God, I'm going to need an every word Bible. Because if I don't have an every word Bible, I can't do what you told me. If I can't do what you told me because of you, God, that's not fair. And God said, don't worry, bud, I'm fair. I'm going to leave you an every word Bible. He said in Psalm 12:7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means out there somewhere in this world, there's an every word Bible. I happen to believe it's the King James Bible. I think we ought to get our face in the book. You say, why? It's an every word book. Every word in the book is pure. All the words in the book are pure. Each word in the book is pure. Without exception, all the words in the book are pure. Altogether, the words of the book are pure. All the words in the book are totally pure. All the words in the book are wholly pure. All the words in the book are entirely pure. All the words in the book are utterly pure. All the words in the book are exactly pure. All the words in the book are without exception pure. All the words in the book are completely pure. And God gave us a Bible and He told us, take some time and get in it and let it help you to succeed. Let it help to make your life what it ought to be. I'm going to tell you, you are not going to be a successful Christian because of Facebook. You'll become a successful Christian because of the book. The book. Why get your face in the book? Because the book is our book. It's our book. Let the world have their books. I have to tell you, I'm not a fan of Harry Potter. I had a teacher in high school, in the public school, that was a witch. At least I think she was. At least we called her one. And I decided back then I wasn't joining anything that had anything to do with witches. But I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Hey, you let the world pick their books, but I picked the book that's a book that I want to be a part of. You say, which one is it? The book. The book. Can you tell me of any book that you've ever looked at, any source of communication that you've ever been involved in that has all those qualities? And just so you all know, I got to watching you when I was reading through my outline, and some of you were getting a little tired because your brain could not absorb how deep the Word of God is. So I'm going to cut out about 45 minutes of the outline because I don't think your mind could keep up about how incredible that book is. I could go on all night to tell you about that book, how wonderful that book is, everything that God's done with that book in the past. Hey, everything that God's doing with that book right now in my life, in my church's life. And I've got good news for you. There's some wonderful things on the horizon. You say, Brother Owens, what in the world is going on? We need a leader in America. I'll guarantee you, we got a leader coming on the scene that is going to be phenomenal. His theme is, let's make the universe great again. The book. You see, the book is my book. The book should be your book. Hey, let's memorize the book. Let's love the book. Let's preach the book. Let's teach the book. Let's stand for the book. Let's die for the book. Let's believe the book. Let's spread the book. Let's support the book. Let's have faith in the book. Let's praise the book. Let's give our time to the book. Let's respect the book. Let's follow the book. Let's lift up the book. Let's obey the book. Let's study the book. Let's be faithful to the book. Let's never doubt the book. Let's tell others about the book. Let's live the book. Let's admire the book. Let's say amen to the book. Let's say amen to the book. Let's fight for the book. Let's defend the book. Let's depend on the book. Let's not put our texting before the book. Let's not put our emailing before the book. Let's not put Facebook before the book. Let's not put Instagram before the book. Let's not put video chatting before the book. Let's not put television before the book. Let's not put Pinterest before the book. There are people that are Pinterest addicts, and they'll spend hours on Pinterest and say, it's nice, clean fun. I've got some better clean fun for you. It's found in the book. You say, but I'm enriching my interest. Why don't you enrich your interest in the book? But I met someone on there. You might just accidentally meet Jesus in the book. You might meet the Holy Spirit in the book. You say, are you against Pinterest? For me personally, yes. For Mrs. Owens, no. I don't see how anybody can look at so many different recipes and be satisfied without eating something. Some of you need to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to fill up that thing with all sorts of recipes. Make me some cookies. You Pinterest addict, you recipe hoarding goofball, what's wrong with you? Hey, let's not put video chatting before the book. Let's not put TV before the book. Let's not put Twitter before the book. Let's not put our video games before the book. I don't believe that all video games are bad. But you better watch the nudity in them. You better watch the language in them. You better watch the violence in them. You better watch the doctrine in them. There's a lot of things you ought to watch, but I am going to tell you this. There are some of you, you're champions. You know how to get to the next level. You'll stay up late to beat the little lights in your telephone. You're something. When was the last time you stayed up late or got up early for the book? There are people in this room. You've stayed home from church to play your video game. Then you turn around and tell your preacher you love him. Won't you be honest? How many of you ever heard of the game called Tetris? I could whip you all. Organization's my forte. Tetris sent me a letter and said, stop playing. You're beating the game. But I tell you something, there's no game out there that could ever stand up and testify against Jeff Owens and say you played me more than you were in the book. The book. You see, I'm not telling you all those things are bad. I'm just telling you there's something better. I'm not telling you can't do some of those things. I'm just telling you there's something you ought to do more. I'm not telling you you couldn't enjoy those things. I'm just telling you there's something you're supposed to enjoy more. You say, what is it? The book. The book. Hey, let's not put Twitter before the book. Let's not put Snapchat before the book. Let's not put anybody, boyfriends and girlfriends, who are lying to mommy and daddy about your purity and lying to your preacher about it. Your relationships that have torn you away from the truths and the morality and the cleanness and the purity of the book. The book. Don't you put your friends before the book. Let's not put anything before the book. You probably have figured out what this sermon's about. I'm totally convinced that book is the solution to every one of your problems. It is the answer to every dilemma. It is the satisfaction to your passion. It is the success to your failure. It is the way up as you spiral down in this life. It's the book.